You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Rockets won. And nobody got hurt. Against the Shanghai Sharks from China, let's be honest, it's probably that second part that's the most important. With that said, the Rockets did begin play, albeit preseason, for the 2019-2020 NBA season. We finally got to see most of these players, not Russell Westbrook, but most of the guys that we've been talking about all summer for this roster that we all at least hope could be a contender for the championship in this upcoming NBA season. Monday night at Toyota Center was our first look in a real game format. Of course, we saw them in scrimmages this offseason, various video clips. But Monday was our first peek behind the curtain from an extended standpoint. And even though it's the preseason, even though it's the Shanghai Sharks, when you look at it through the prism of the offseason trends, what we know the emphasis to be, there are some interesting takeaways that we can discuss as we try and extrapolate what we learned Monday night and apply it to the rest of the preseason and, of course, this entire season to come for your Houston Rockets. Anyway, that's what we'll be doing today here at Locked On Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Tuesday, October 1st, welcome to a new month, by the way. This is when the NBA regular season will start, just about 3.5 weeks away, Thursday, October 24th. The Rockets open it up at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. That's led by the former MVP from this past season. Of course, the team that the Rockets played on Monday night, September 30th, the Shanghai Sharks. Now, they did have Donatas Moniunis, who 27 points, 11 boards. He looked like an NBA player, and, well, of course, he was. He's still not that old. And this was a guy who was an impact player just about 3 years ago. The Rockets were willing to give him nearly $40 million in guaranteed money. Of course, that didn't come to fruition in large part because of B.J. Armstrong. Donatas and B.J. had their rights, and, well, he's in China right now. Nonetheless, he is an NBA player. However, certainly, or at least he's an NBA talent, I should say. The rest of that Shanghai team, not so much. So, of course, the competition the Rockets have coming up in the preseason, the next return Thursday night in Hawaii against the L.A. Clippers. We don't know if they'll have Kawhi Leonard. They definitely won't have Paul George, but that's a playoff team from this past year. A lot of athleticism, a lot of depth. Shanghai, not so much on any of those fronts. So the competition will get a lot steeper. Nonetheless, Monday is all we have to evaluate at this point. The Rockets won the game 140-71, a very nice 69-point win. Of course, it's going to get a lot more difficult moving forward. Some of the stat lines just comedically efficient. And so that's why when I look at this in today's show, we will touch on some of the bench guys who flashed. I think for guys trying to earn a roster spot, you can make a little bit more out of their performances. Chris Clemens, the rookie guard out of Campbell, 21 points in just 19 minutes, made 7 of his 16 shots. Ben McLemore had 5 threes go in, 17 points off the bench. Mike D'Antoni said after the game that there's no reason why he's not an NBA player and potentially a very good one. That's the former lottery pick out of Kansas. We'll talk about those guys. I think individual performances mean a little bit more for the bench guys trying to prove themselves, and we'll look at those as we make our way through our usual three-part show. Here off the top, I'm going to talk about the starters, and not so much with the result, because James Harden, Clint Capella, look, they're just comedically more talented as it pertains to what they can do versus their counterparts on the Shanghai Sharks. It's not even close. So James Harden, he had a triple-double by halftime for the game, played just, I believe, 21 minutes and had 17 assists, also 10 points, 12 rebounds. Clint Capella played 21 minutes, and I think he actually played just 19, and he had 25 points and 10 rebounds, made 11 of his 13 shots. They're a ton better. So what I see as far as looking at the starters, Eric Gordon made a few threes, Daniel House played well. It's not so much about the result, but it's about the process. By the way, P.J. Tucker, I know he had the ankle injury in August. Not only was he playing in the preseason opener, but he was playing committed defense like it was the playoffs. Don't tell PJ that it's the preseason. You know how he plays, and that doesn't change regardless of who the opponent is. If it's the regular season, the preseason, the postseason, he just wants to play. And Overall, I thought the Rockets looked solid. Obviously, you win by 69 points. A lot of things went right. But I think in terms of taking anything from this game, it's less about the result because, of course, you're going to get easier shots. Your efficiency is going to be a lot better against a team from China. It's more about the process, and that's where I was really encouraged, specifically with regards to the pace, which has been a huge emphasis ever since the Rockets got Russell Westbrook. The big question has been, can the Rockets speed up how they play to fit what Russell does best? Because the system last year when they were bottom five in the league in pace, that's not going to work with Russ, a guy who's not that efficient in isolation, not a very good shooter. You do need to reboot the offense now that you're replacing Chris Paul with Russell Westbrook. And what encouraged me most, even in a game that Westbrook didn't play as expected, he's still building back up after his offseason knee scope. They're anticipating his debut likely in Japan next week. Nothing that they're worried about, but it's a six-game preseason that's one longer than usual. There's no reason to rush him in, especially this early, not even October, when the Rockets played on Monday night. So there's nothing alarming, and I actually, from the standpoint of how the Rockets played without him, I see a big positive that even without Westbrook on the floor, that the Rockets really pushed their pace. After the game, Mike D'Antoni credited James Harden with setting the tone and said it looked like that he wanted to do that. That's really encouraging because I think it's a little too much to put everything on Chris Paul, the slower pace of the last couple of years for the Rockets. Now, I think it indirectly may have been because of Chris Paul, but it wasn't as if Chris Paul just stalled out the Rockets, and now that he's gone, just snap your fingers, and it's going to be easy to play at the pace that the Rockets need to play at to optimize Russell Westbrook. It's going to take James Harden as the established star of the team. He needs to be willing to do that, and certainly I think it should be James more than Russell. This is one that I think James needs to be the one that is a little more flexible. You know, in our last show on Saturday, I talked about Russell overall, especially late in games, being the guy that's going to have to adjust to not having the ball in his hands as much because he's just not as good in these half-court settings as James. Well, this is one in which I think James, in regards to the pace, he can adapt easier than Russell can because whereas Russell, you haven't really seen him having that much success in truly half-court settings. With James, he's good enough. He is so transcendent as an offensive player. He has had success, not just in the slower-paced, isolation-heavy approach that the Rockets have used the last 2 years. Think back to the first year of Mike D'Antoni in Houston when they won 55 games before Chris Paul. That was one of the fastest teams in the NBA. And James Harden succeeded then as well. He was runner-up for MVP to Russell Westbrook, of all people, and a lot of us think that he should have won it. And the Rockets won 55 games that season. Then the following year, it actually started off that 65-17 season a couple of years ago. It actually started off pretty fast-paced then as well, before really slowing and grinding to a halt as the season moved along, going more isolation. Well, what was different about the start to the year? You didn't have Chris Paul. You had James Harden and, of course, Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, many of the guys that are still there today, and they were succeeding playing fast at the start of that season as well. So they can do it, and that's why I think it's on James to adjust a little bit more than it is on Russell, because James has proven that, yes, he is capable of succeeding in a quicker pace. He just has to want to do it, and that's why I think even against a Chinese squad, you can point out, look, the Rockets are more athletic than Shanghai. Clint Capela can beat them up and down the floor. Will they do it against the LA Clippers or any other real teams coming up? Time will tell. We'll see. But as it pertains to the Sharks, look, the Rockets can outrun them. But guess what? They're also good enough to beat them in the half court. The fact that the Rockets were willing to run, and fortunately nobody got hurt in the process, I think that's really encouraging as it pertains to their state of mind. We know it's something that Mike D'Antoni has mentioned throughout this offseason. Every interview, he talks about their need to pick it up. I think James Harden can do it, as mentioned, because he's done it in recent years. He just has to want to. And ultimately, it is going to be on James. I think it's misleading to think that it's as easy as just snapping your fingers, and now that Chris Paul is gone, well, it's all going to be fine. Because again, you look at the last couple of years, it's not just Chris Paul that's stalling them out. For starters, this past year, when Chris Paul played, he only played 30 to 32 minutes a game because of his injury history, his age. Well, guess what? The other 16, 18 minutes a game, it's not like the Rockets were going all that fast then either. And then you look at the last 2 years, James Harden has played about 25 games, especially this past year, without Chris Paul. Again, It's not like the pace picked up in the 25 games that Chris Paul missed. So even if Chris Paul indirectly is the cause, it's not as simple as just taking him out and then, bam, you're going to be playing fast and it's all fixed. No, it's going to be something, it needs to be something that James Harden wants to do. And then, quite frankly, even the games that Chris Paul did play, this past year, he was a supporting actor. It was James Harden with the keys to the car. So he's got to want to play faster. And there's reasons to think that he will. Again, he has succeeded in the past in higher octane systems, including under Mike D'Antoni and alongside Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. I do think he's in good shape, even though he did turn 30. He looks to me like he is fully ready to go. There's no injury concerns. So he can do it. But at the end of the day, he's got to want to. And I think that's what we're seeing, at least early in training camp, the start to the preseason. James wants to play faster, and that is really big. And as far as why they didn't the last couple of years, I don't know if it was a directive from Mike D'Antoni. Some of it may have been just subconscious. But I think, you know, you look at the main acquisitions the Rockets made the last two off seasons before this one. Certainly Chris Paul, but also PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, Carmelo Anthony, all of these guys in their 30s, much more known for what they can do in the half court than running up and down the floor. I don't know how much was a directive and how much was subconscious, but I think on some level, James, to play to the strengths of his teammates, figured that, and perhaps it's trying to limit injury risk as well, just slowing it down, getting it in the half court. Some of these guys, certainly Chris, but also Carmelo, they're good isolation players. PJ Tucker, Luke Bamute, we know how good they are in the half court on defense. And I think, you know, it's hard to say how much was Mike D'Antoni telling them to slow it down and how much was their choice. But I think the game comes so easy to James Harden that he can play different styles. He can play faster. He can play slower. The last couple of years, isolation, I think on some level, he's viewed that as friendly, not just to himself. He's one of the best isolation players in NBA history, but also to Chris Paul, especially as injuries and aging have taken a little bit of a toll on him. He's still a pretty good isolation one-on-one player, Chris Paul, that is. Not so much a guy you can ask to really run the floor and push the pace. So I think on some level, I don't know how much was D'Antoni, I don't know how much was James Harden, I don't know how much was explicitly said and how much was just sort of feeling it out on the court and trying to play to your teammates' strengths. But I think a lot of it was James Harden just trying to play to what he thinks is best for his supporting cast. Now, as the year moved along, last year they added Daniel House Jr., they added Austin Rivers. That's more youth, that's more athleticism, but it's tough to change your style on the fly. I think having a full offseason with Rivers and House, now you have Russell Westbrook, I think it's much easier for James to really sort of flip the switch and go back to the guy he was 2 or 3 years ago, when again, he has shown that he can play faster. That's going to be a theme for the season. Again, this is one preseason game against the Shanghai Sharks. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. There's still a lot to be proven. The Clippers in Hawaii on Thursday night, we'll learn a lot more then. But so far, so good. And I really like that we saw James Harden doing this without Russell Westbrook. Because the big question, of course, the Rockets are going to have a faster pace this year just based on adding Westbrook. He will push it. But are they going to run with him? Or is it going to be Westbrook largely doing it by himself and forcing that quicker pace? Because even though they'd still be successful, Westbrook and Harden are dominant enough players in their own right to succeed, even if the fit isn't great, to actually win a championship. It can't be just forcing that type of thing. You've got to have the cohesion, the chemistry of these guys all playing together, being united in their vision. And again, it's one game against the Shanghai Sharks. I'm not going to say that that proves anything in and of itself. But when you look at the fact that Westbrook wasn't on the floor, and you look at the fact that it meshes exactly with what the emphasis has been this entire offseason, we've seen it in camp as well, the limited portions of practice this weekend that were open to the media. We saw them playing at a quicker pace. So far, so good. They have a lot more to prove moving forward. But as far as Monday's preseason opener, nobody got hurt. That's the biggest thing. But to see James Harden pushing the pace, 17 assists in 21 minutes, getting up and down the floor. Clint Capela, 25 and 10 in just 19 minutes, 11 of 13 because he is running. By the way, I think Clint Capela being able to run as well as he did, we've seen this offseason. If you follow him on Instagram, boy, the videos of what he's put himself through running the stairs at Toyota Center, the track at Memorial Park. He has really been working on his cardio, his fitness. And it shows you, by the way, thinking back to the playoffs, some of it was that virus, certainly against the Jazz. But I think it'd be a little silly to think that it's all out of his system when you go through something like that a week or two later against the Warriors. It didn't look like he wanted to run, and maybe he couldn't in those series. we saw on Monday night, again, it's the Shanghai Sharks, but to see a big man of Clint's size after the game, he said he thinks he's the fastest big man in the NBA. It's not easy for a big man like that to run against air. I don't care who you're playing. So again, that's a really encouraging sign, but I think James Harden leading the way, the 17 points, 21 minutes, or 17 assists, excuse me, in those 21 minutes, to see James pushing the pace, and of course he's rewarding Clint for his running. For Clint, it's good to see from a fitness perspective and how he's feeling. He's in great shape. And with James, I just think it shows you that he is in the right state of mind. The competition's going to get a lot tougher. I don't expect him to average 17 assists in 21 minutes, every 20 minutes that he plays. Of course, it's going to get a lot tougher moving forward. But when you consider what the emphasis is, and when you consider what the Rockets need to do this season, to see them playing like that, even without Russell Westbrook, that to me is what I'm encouraged by. It's not so much the stat lines, because yeah, the efficiency, that's going to go down when you're not playing a team from China. However, the process, it's the emphasis, it's what we've talked about all offseason with regards to what they need to do to integrate Russell Westbrook. That's what encouraged me most in this 140-71 win. It's not so much that they won by that much, because, well, they should. The Rockets are just way better. But the process that we saw, especially from the leaders, James Harden, Clint Capella, setting the tone, I think that bodes really well, because, of course, it's exactly how they need to play once they do get Russell Westbrook back next week. All right, continuing our show on this Tuesday, October 1st at Locked On Rockets, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat this Tuesday morning, we're recapping the Monday night preseason opener, the 140-71 win by the Rockets over the Shanghai Sharks. Houston, of course, a much better team as expected. The competition will get a lot more severe once they get to Hawaii. They're actually there now. They flew out after the game, and they're getting ready for the LA Clippers on Thursday evening. Paul George won't play. Kawhi Leonard might. But overall, it'll be a much stiffer test against a playoff team from this past year. There's a lot of depth. There's a lot of athleticism. And of course, the Rockets trying to acclimate. They're doing training camp there a couple of days. And then, of course, it's kind of getting their bodies ready for where they'll be next week in Tokyo, Japan, playing the Toronto Raptors as part of the NBA's Japan games. So that's why the Rockets, they're not in Houston anymore. We'll be watching for updates from Hawaii. Unfortunately, I'm not there. However, we will get to see the games on television. And starting Thursday, we'll get a much more real sense of where they are relative to the NBA competition, as opposed to what we saw against the Shanghai Sharks on Monday night. With that said, while you take everything with a grain of salt as far as overall how the Rockets fare against the Sharks, it doesn't really tell you how they're going to fare against NBA teams. There's a big gap in that regard. With that said, you can learn things as far as the process, comparing guys to one another. We said that in segment one in terms of James Harden, Clint Capella picking up the pace. That's a big emphasis for the Rockets. And then in terms of comparing guys to one another, the end of the bench spots where guys are battling for roster spots, for contracts, even against the Shanghai Sharks, you can see some guys getting a leg up. Here in segment two, I want to give our due to a guy who's getting a lot of love in the NBA Twitter sphere, and that's Chris Clemens, the rookie guard out of Campbell, a walking bucket, undrafted, but doing exactly what we saw him do in summer league when he averaged over 20 points per game. We know that his teammates raved about him when the Rockets had their unofficial workouts in Vegas and in LA earlier this summer. And for Chris Clemens, even against the Shanghai Sharks, 21 points in 19 minutes, 7 of 16 from the field, made 5 three-pointers, but also made 2 of his 3 shots inside the arc at 5'9". That's not easy, but he has burst. The one shot he missed inside the arc, he tried to throw down an absolute facial over a much bigger Sharks defender. Now, he did miss it, but it shows you that he's got burst. And again, he is capable, even though he's smaller. He's quick enough that he can start and stop on a dime. He can get some separation. He had 4 assists in those 19 minutes as well, so he can create for his teammates. And as a couple of the national guys pointed out, he was making reads and passes that even against a lesser opponent, those were plays that NBA players make. It's not easy for anybody to do that, even if you're just going out to a gym and playing pickup ball. So Chris Clemens, he continues to play well. There's not a path for him to play barring injuries this year, because the Rockets in the backcourt, they are so loaded. Obviously, Russell Westbrook and James Harden, also Austin Rivers and Eric Gordon. But a lot of these guys are in their 30s. The Rockets have a good program with the G League, the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, and I would fully anticipate the Rockets holding on to Chris Clemens. He's shown enough. again, it's not just Monday's game against the Sharks. It's what he did in Summer League. It's what he's done in the unofficial team workouts playing with his teammates. At this point, there's a pretty clear trend that this guy can play. I know he went undrafted. That's because of his size. But guys have overcome that before. Think back to Nate Robinson when he was at the peak of his athletic powers. Guys, also, even though he's still working on his defense, Daryl Morey pointed this out, you have seen guys in the past that have that type of stocky build that can figure out a way to hold their own, especially if they have good hands, good instincts, which Clemens appears to. It's something that he's not going to be ready, especially in the defensive end, from day one. He's going to need time at the G League level before he's ready, and that's good because the Rockets don't have any available minutes anyway. But moving forward the next few years, could this guy be a gem? It's early, but all indications are this guy can play. I think the real question, will he get one of the two-way spots, or do the Rockets like him enough to potentially give him a three-year deal the way we've seen them do the last couple of years using small chunks of their mid-level exception, which they still have available. All they've used of their taxpayer MLE to this point is on Daniel House Jr. They have a couple of million dollars left. Would they consider giving one of the 15 actual roster spots to Chris Clemens and giving him a three-year deal so that they have him, you know, under their control for 3 years and they have early bird rights when he's after his third year and if he ends up succeeding? Because there's not a path to minutes now, but who knows what the roster is going to look like moving forward in a couple of years. Austin Rivers, Eric Gordon, do they play out their entire contracts here? I don't know. I would bet that Russell Westbrook and James Harden do, barring something extraordinary. But there could easily be a circumstance in which, maybe not this year, but the next couple of years, that Chris Clemens gets a shot in Houston. Or maybe he just plays so damn well that he forces his way in. But at this point, I don't think the question is so much, is Chris Clemens going to be on this roster? We've seen enough all offseason, Summer League, playing with the team, what he did in this preseason opener against Shanghai. Sure, he needs to continue playing well, but I think it's not so much, will Chris Clemens make it? The Rockets need to be younger. He's a good prospect. I would be stunned if he doesn't make the final roster. I think what you watch for the remainder of the preseason with how he plays is he's so good that they won't even bother giving him a two-way, that they will go right to giving him, you know, a three-year deal to keep him under club control as long as they can and, of course, get early bird rights at the end of that. I could see them considering it. It's not a lock because, again, as Mike D'Antoni pointed out, they suddenly have a lot of veterans competing for those final roster spots, especially after adding Tabo Sefolosha and Ryan Anderson. You've even got Ben McLemore, Anthony Bennett, more on them in just a few moments. So it's not going to be easy to give one of your 15 actual contracts to Chris Clemens. But there's a case, if he continues to play well, you may not even want to bother with the two-way route. You may want to say, hey, this is a guy that we believe in. Let's get him locked up for as long as we can under club control. Let's get him in our system. No, he's not going to play at the NBA level this year, but there's a case in which you might say, you know what, let's give him that three-year deal. And even if we don't have a veteran, it's not like you're going to be playing a 15-man rotation anyway. Not saying that they're 100% going to do that, because those veterans, there's a reason the Rockets have brought in so many of them. This is a year that they want to win a championship now, and most of these guys are more ready to contribute at the NBA level, at least to start the year, than a 5'9" rookie Chris Clemens would be. But we know he can shoot. He made the 5 three-pointers, but beyond that, it's ability to pass, it's his ability to start and stop on a dime, it's his knowledge, it's his overall court sense. He's just such a savvy player. And of course, that's how, you know, you're one of the NCAA's leading scorers at just 5'9". Even if you're in a smaller conference, it's not easy to succeed at that height. If you do that, it's typically because, beyond just gifts of being able, of course, to shoot the ball well, which you have to if you're that small in most cases, beyond that, you also have to have a really high IQ and know how to use your body. You also have to have some quickness to maybe overcome that lack of size, to where, you know, if you have that burst, if you have that ability, again, to start and stop on a dime, then maybe that helps you overcome and get a little bit of separation that you can't get just by rising and firing over someone the way a more traditional 6'2", 6'3" guard might be able to do. So it's tough for Chris, but obviously he's overcome it. It's not just one game against the Sharks, because, yeah, that can be overblown. The Rockets won by 69 points because they're just a far better team. But when you combine that with what we've seen all season long, not or off season long, the shooting, the speed, the way he plays within himself, he gets his teammates involved. That's why a lot of his teammates rave about him. I think it's easy to see that this is someone who's going to be around. I'd be floored if he doesn't make this roster. I think it would be a very significant downturn. I think that's what would be required in his play over the next 3 weeks not to end up making it. To me, the bigger question is, do they give him one of the two-way spots, which is probably still I would say, the house favorite if you were betting, because he's so young and because the Rockets have so many veterans. But there is a case, if he continues to play this well, I could see the Rockets saying, you know what, let's just give him the three-year deal the same way we did with Isaiah Hartenstein and Gary Clark. Now, of course, it was easier because with Hartenstein and Clark, the Rockets were willing to give out those deals, not just because they could, but because they had roster spots available. Now, with so many veterans, it's not as easy to have a roster spot. With that said, if Chris Clemens continues to play that well, I could see the Rockets saying, you know what, it's worth it to bite the bullet. Let's just give him one of these permanent slots. Let's get him under contract for as many years moving forward as we can and develop him within the system. That's something to watch moving forward. Of course, you want to see him play well. But at this point, in my opinion, barring something extraordinary, it's not a question of can Chris Clemens make the roster. It's more, can Chris Clemens play his way into a real NBA contract? Based on what we saw Monday, that's a possibility. Is it truly valid? We'll learn a lot more, of course, when Clemens takes on much more real competition, starting with the LA Clippers and, I presume, Pat Beverly on Thursday night in Hawaii. All right, final thoughts here at Locked on Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. On this Tuesday, October 1st, we're talking about the Rockets' preseason opener, the 140-71 demolition of the Shanghai Sharks. Not so much to learn from how any individual player played, because look, the Rockets are much more talented than Shanghai. We'll start seeing the Rockets against NBA opponents on Thursday night against the LA Clippers, and we can make much more informed judgments then about how the Rockets stack up. Of course, their quest to be title contenders, win an NBA championship this season. Of course, there's a long way to go. This is a marathon of a season, and we'll learn a lot more in the days and weeks ahead on that front. In terms of what we learned in Monday's opener, I think it's less about watching the Rockets against the Sharks. It's more about the Rockets versus themselves. Certainly, we talked in segment one about the Rockets need to play faster. I don't care who you're going up against, to see James Harden pushing the pace after an offseason in which they've clearly stated that that's something they need to do. That's encouraging, especially with Russell Westbrook not playing. And in segment two, we talked about rookie guard Chris Clemens. To see a rookie have that level of success, 21 points in just 19 minutes, 7 of 16 from the floor, 5 three-pointers, that's good. I don't care who you play. And of course, battling for those final roster spots, it's not so much that, wow, Chris Clemens did this against the Shanghai Sharks. No, it's more that of these guys at the end of the bench, this guy clearly stood out as someone who can play relative to his teammates. It's not so much relative to the Sharks. It's relative to the guys that are battling for those final spots on the Rockets roster. So that's the lens that we're looking at this through. And the other guy that flashed a little bit to me, Ben McLemore, had 17 points in his 23 minutes, made 5 three-pointers. I thought he played pretty well defensively. Of course, it's tough to judge much defensively against a team like the Sharks. At least on paper, McLemore, a former lottery pick, should have the talent to do well on that end. We'll see if he can ever put it together, but he does have the tools. But Mike D'Antoni, after the game, I thought it was a pretty strong endorsement saying that McLemore should be a good NBA player. There's no reason that he shouldn't be on an NBA roster. And the Rockets have not given much in the way of guaranteed money to him, but he is one of those guys battling for spot 14, spot 15 on the roster. I thought it was a good start. Competition's going to get a lot steeper in the days ahead. But what really stood out to me is how much tougher the path is becoming for Anthony Bennett, who missed it with knee tendonitis. That's a pretty serious issue, and it's kind of unlikely for that to fully go away within days. He might be able to play, but that's something that's going to be there. And we talked on Saturday's show about Anthony Bennett, his road being tougher because of the presence of Ryan Anderson. Now, Ryan Anderson, who played a lot in Monday's game at Toyota Center against the Sharks, got a nice applause from the crowd. He didn't shoot very well, but unless that continues over 6 games, and I don't anticipate it to, unless he's slumping in terms of how much he makes in practice, which we really don't get to see, one game in which Ryan's a little bit cold, especially in a small sample, that's not really a big deal. They know that Ryan Anderson knows how to shoot the ball. That's going to come around. We talked about this on Saturday's show. Ryan Anderson is there because he has a higher floor. They know that he can and has contributed, not just an NBA contender, to an NBA contender in Houston under Mike D'Antoni. And he has a very similar skill set as a shooting big to Anthony Bennett. That makes the Bennett path harder. So while it's not a given that Anderson trumps Bennett, Bennett probably needs to play to make his case. And then, if you give Anderson the benefit of the doubt, and they've also given a lot more guaranteed, $250,000 already guaranteed to Ryan Anderson, nothing to Anthony Bennett. So there's a lot of advantages for Ryan in this. And then if Ryan ends up making the roster, and as I've talked about in the first couple of days of training camp, we have seen him regularly with the first and second team with the Rockets. He looks comfortable. Mike D'Antoni clearly trusts him. if Anderson makes it, it's not that Bennett has no path, but then he's really, really fighting for one of those late roster spots. And one of the guys that he is in most direct competition with, that would be Ben McLemore, who, again, played very well in that opener, 17 points, made 5 3-pointers. He's got the athleticism to be a wing defender. We'll see if he can ever put those tools together. He's still young, former lottery pick. Not the same position, McLemore to Bennett, but we know that Mike D'Antoni doesn't really get bogged down in terms of, okay, I need X body or X skill set. No, if he has a better player by going small, he'd rather Ben McLemore and just deal with, I guess, the problem of McLemore being a little bit lighter. But we know that Mike D'Antoni is not afraid to play a smaller body at the four if he thinks it's a more talented player, especially if they can shoot. So it's not so much that McLemore, with one game making 5 threes against the Sharks, really flashed as a guy that, okay, he's ready for the roster. No, I'm not saying that. The competition is going to get way tougher. We'll see how he plays moving forward. But what it does show you is that when combined with the presence of Ryan Anderson, who I know did not shoot that well, but he's still a much more proven commodity that the Rockets clearly trust, the odds are becoming very tough for Anthony Bennett to make this roster, especially when you consider that, look, knee tendonitis does not go away overnight. So when you factor that he's not 100%, and he's got not just Ryan Anderson in front of him with a similar skill set, but as far as battling for the final roster spots, if the Rockets do give out 14 or 15 deals, and I expect them to, although, of course, Chris Clemens could end up stealing one of those, as we discussed in the last segment. But even amongst the guys that aren't Chris Clemens and Ryan Anderson, there's been McLemore to contend with. So again, it's not so much that McLemore proved that he's going to get a roster spot, because there's a lot of veteran guys competing for those final spots. It's not going to be easy. But I think what it really showed you, the 5 threes that Ben McLemore made against the Sharks, number one, it's nice for a guy who has not had that much positive experiences in the NBA to hopefully build a little bit of confidence. We'll see if that transfers to the Clipper game on Thursday night. But I think it also shows you just how hard the road is becoming for Anthony Bennett. Again, he's a former number one overall pick. He's very talented. It'd be a fun redemption story, but he's got to prove it. And the road is getting very difficult, not just Ryan Anderson ahead of him in terms of a similar body, similar skill set. Now Ben McLemore having a good start to the preseason. If the Anthony Bennett redemption story, and we've talked about that a lot this offseason, that potential, he made 45% of his threes at the G League level a year ago. Now, granted, if he didn't make the roster, the Rockets could try to get him on their G League team, but it'd be difficult. I believe they'd have to trade for him because he's still property of the Clippers as far as his roster spot goes. I believe that's right. David Wiener, Bema Thug, can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think his rights, Anthony Bennett, that is, are still controlled by the Clippers if the Rockets don't give him a roster spot. I don't think it's as simple as they can just put him on their G League team. David can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty confident that's correct. So if Bennett is going to stick in Houston, the only way to guarantee it, as I understand it, would be to give him a roster spot. Well, it's not just Ryan Anderson. Now it's Ben McLemore as well. If the Anthony Bennett redemption story is going to happen, he needs to get healthy very quickly and start to prove himself on the court. I hope that happens, but considering it's knee tendonitis, that's something that typically does not go away fully in a matter of days. And given the competition, given the depth of this roster, especially after adding Ryan Anderson and Thabo Sefolosha, who thankfully his visa issues are resolved, he played on Monday, so he's ready to go as well. When you consider all that depth, it's going to be a big few days for Anthony Bennett. First, he needs to prove that he's healthy, that he can play, and then he's going to have to play very well, because all of a sudden, this is a very deep roster, and Anthony Bennett is going to need to show something very quickly if he still has a path to ultimately make the final 15-man roster entering this regular season. With that, I believe we can wrap this episode of Locked on Rockets on this Tuesday, October 1st. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and if you want more content in the days ahead, we'll be back at the end of the week to break down whatever happens between the Rockets and the Clippers. But until then, you can, of course, follow me and the show and our new up-and-coming host, Jackson Gatlin. We talked about that on Saturday's show. You can follow all of us on Twitter for updates in real time. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. Jackson is on there at JT Gatlin. And the show is on there at Lockdown Rockets. Beyond that, we've got a website, lockdownrockets.com, Facebook account at facebook.com/lockdownrockets. Email address, lockdownrockets@gmail.com. All of those are ways you can access prior content. You can ask me or Jackson questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better podcast experience for just you, the listener, you, the Rockets fan, or even you, the human being. Please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. Beyond that, also, please subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, wherever you listen to your podcast, because we've got a great distribution network at the Lockdown Podcast Network. You should be able to find us. So subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. That's how you'll get episodes delivered even before I can post them to the aforementioned social media outlets. They'll be delivered right to you. And with your subscription and hopefully your 5-star review, that's how we look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model rolling as the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So for this Tuesday, October 1st, this is where we will leave things. Once again, the happy final from Toyota Center. Rockets 141, Sharks 71. Houston improves to 1-0 on the preseason. Back in action Thursday night, a late night start, 7 p.m. local time in Hawaii, which means midnight in Houston. But they'll be facing the L.A. Clippers, in which, who knows, could be a Western Conference Finals preview. Now, it doesn't seem that Russell Westbrook will play. We know Paul George isn't going to play. We'll see about Kawhi Leonard. I strongly suspect James Harden will play no matter what. We all know that's what he does. Regardless, though, these are two very talented and deep teams. It'll be fun. And of course, after it's over on Friday, we'll be right back here to break it all down at Lockdown Rockets, your podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.